Susie, tell us the story of Viavi Flower Farm, how it came about, where the name came from.
Viavi was started over 20 years ago in Pawpaw by Wanda Miller, Jim, and Mary Hood, and they were all partners. And they farmed the land for years and years. They were at the farmer's market before going to the farmer's market. It was cool. So they farmed for 20-some years and sold wholesale in Grand Rapids, in Chicago, and in Kalamazoo at the market. They had a store in Pawpaw as well. Wanda herself had a store with different handmade items in downtown Kalamazoo called Viavi. The name Viavi came from, as the story goes, she and her good friend Mark were antiquing in Chicago, and they came across a frosted glass window that just said Viavi. And it struck them. They both stood there and just said, oh, Viavi, what a beautiful word.
It's musical, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Viavi became the name of Wanda's store. And we, myself and Amy and Becky that all still work here, we worked with Wanda before she passed away. So when she passed away, this was 7 seasons ago now, I wanted to continue the farm on in the tradition. So we decided to name it Viavi in her honor.
It's a wonderful name. So you're located in Pawpaw?
We are. We are on the west side of Pawpaw, right off of Highway 51 toward Decatur. We are, as the locals say, on the Eagle Lake side of Pawpaw Drive.
What kind of acreage do you have out there?
We have 4 acres of cut flowers.
So it's not overly dramatic, you know. It's, you know, not 40. 4 is
right.
Pretty modest.
Right. It is. It's just a little different world, the land of cut flowers, compared to, say, if I had 4 acres of corn, because in the land of cut flowers, everything is sown by hand and planted by hand, harvested by hand, and then tore down by hand in the fall. Whereas, you know, other agriculture, you can use large equipment to do the work for you. This is all literally done by hand.
So is that what makes Viavi Flower Farm unique? But when I was looking at your website, though, I was reading things about seasonal and heirloom blooms. Is that part of what your claim to fame is?
Yeah, so I think that what makes us unique is a couple different things. First is the diversity. We have quite a lot of different blooms that we grow. We have 3 different, we're structured in 3 fields. They each have 27 rows of 150 feet. And we have blooms from early spring all the way through until the first frost or maybe a little bit past. And then we also do foraging.
You do foraging? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, foraging. Yeah, we do bittersweet, berries, all sorts of different cool things.
Do you go for native plants only, or do you go beyond Michigan plants?
That's a good question. Actually, no, we don't go native only. There aren't that many native plants that we grow. There's a few in our perennial beds. That is not a focus because they're not typically cut flowers. So we go for things that we can grow in the area that are traditionally non-invasive, but interesting and different variety.
I also saw something on your website about, quote unquote, flower to vase philosophy. What does that mean?
Right. So that kind of ties into the whole theory of the farm as far as keeping it local. This ties into our wedding, okay, our weddings as well. We do quite a lot of business in our wedding florals. And the way that this our farm or our theory operates is that we try to keep the footprint out of it. So, for instance, if I'm buying for a wedding or if I'm having a wedding, we have an option that's all local flowers, in which case I would utilize my local flowers. And then other people in the flower growing community that are in my network and local. And then if I buy from a wholesaler, I aim to buy from the U.S. So we're trying to eliminate and educate people to the footprint of flowers that they're seeing at local stores coming in from other countries and what that means for quality of workers, how much chemical, how much land impact, you know, things like this.
I've also heard that flowers are associated with different feelings, different messages. Do you work with that at all or no?
You know, I do and I don't. I don't stand necessarily, I stray from the typical definitions. You're talking about the language of flowers. I do love that
right. Concept.
Some of them I don't know that I agree with, being my personal experience with the flower. So I go for more of a creating a mood based on need, right? Mm-hmm. So when I'm doing floral, say somebody has, they write in and they need a delivery for an anniversary, I'll ask questions about what did you need, things like this, and try to tie in emotions this way.
What are the seasonal flowers that you're working with right now in the fall?
So locally, this is every season has a cut flower that is, you know, the one. So spring obviously would be your peonies, and then now we've moved into late summer, so we're in dahlias. And dahlias do really well until the frost comes. We have some we have in tunnels as well. But the dahlia is definitely a huge family. They're beautiful, showy, showstoppers. So that's our fall bloom.
And how did you, Susie, get interested in flowers? Tell me about your journey, and do you grow a lot of them at home, too?
That's so funny. People will always say to me, I live in Kalamazoo, and people always say to me, oh, your yard must be so beautiful. And I'm like, no, my yard has gone feral because I have no time for my yard.
Well, they kind of say that, don't they, about like a plumber's pipes at home are never working,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we do get a lot of comments about people regarding the farm down at the market, et cetera. They would say things like, your farm must be so beautiful, or your yard must be so beautiful. And I love that comment. And yes, it is, but it is an agricultural enterprise. So it's really, not what people, I think, have us visualize dressed in white and like roaming through, picking it, you know, something here and something there. But it's really more intentional here. There's not much color in the field because we pick it before it's fully bloomed, most flowers. So when you're driving by, if you see a lot of color, to me, that says that we're not doing our job well.
Oh, interesting.
You know, they would be picked and kept in the walk-in and then go to sale. So there's not many blooms that stay on the plant.
So a green flower farm is an active one. I had never thought
exactly
of that, but what you're saying makes absolute sense.
Exactly. So myself, I grew up in, I like to call it Podunk, but I grew up in Big Rapids, and my mom was a florist with a flower store. And so growing up, I would, you know, since the time she would let me work there, I would have been around flowers. And then I have a degree in forestry, and I've traveled the country, and yada, yada. I ended up, one point in my life, down at the farmer's market, walking around Wanda's booth going, oh, is that a this? Is that a, you know, I was just so asking her every Latin name and just, is that this, why that? Until one day, finally, she said, would you just do you just want to work for me? I said, yeah, I think I do.
Instead of nagging me?
Exactly. So my husband and myself started working down at market with her for several years before she passed. And I just picked up the rest, really. My garden did look good at home before I took over the farm. I've always had kind of a desire to grow and design.
You know, there was just a little bit of time in my life that I worked at a florist. It just kind of happened that way, and I had no experience in it. But I was delighted at how creative the job felt as I was learning how to arrange flowers. It's very artistic.
It is. It is. And compared to other, you know, being in the floral industry locally, compared to them, you know, now that I've grown, I can't imagine not being able to walk out to my field. Don't get me wrong, I still have my favorite roses that I'll order in from California. But to be able to walk out into my field and just grab things to mix with them and see what's, you know, happening that week in the field and be able to move with it feels so very natural.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Do you have like a U-pick availability at the farm? Can people come and pick their own?
We don't actually allow U-pick, mostly because, you know, it is not the safest environment, let's put it that way. You know, there's a lot of bees, there's a lot of holes, the ground is uneven, things like this. So we don't really allow, and each plant really does have a specific way it needs to be picked and harvested. But we
sure
do have an honor stand. We kept the honor stand going. And our intention is to keep it going forever. Right now, it's what we call a extreme honor stand because I just took the lock off of it. And you just leave money in and take change if you need it and grab flowers. So they're right over by the road. It's like, you know, cute little bouquets ready to go.
You mentioned bees. What are your practices in growing the flower? Do you worry about pesticides? Do you worry about bees? Do you keep beehives near?
Yeah, good question. So the Hoods in the past had bees that they kept in the back. I believe it was maybe their niece or somebody that was doing it. And we haven't had any beekeepers here. There are a million bees here and a million butterflies, a million frogs, which is really good. If you get like a little stressed out or tired from your task, you can take a minute and just look for frogs, which is really entertaining for me. But as far as the bees go, you know, we have open pollination. We're really lucky that we have neighbors, being residential neighbors, buffering us from Big Egg, which is down the street. So we don't get a lot of blowover or anything like this, which is really, really lucky.
Yeah.
Ourselves, we just have noticed crops that require spraying over the years. For instance, gladiolas require a lot of spraying for thrip, and we just don't grow them anymore. It's just not worth it for us. Mm. So if something requires a lot of spray, we're most likely not going to grow it.
So let's talk a little more about the art of working with flowers. You've offered workshops at Book Bug in Kalamazoo, and you have one coming up in November. Tell us about that. What are you going to be teaching? And maybe give us a little teaser of some of the things that people should learn about flowers.
We do a variety of workshops, and they're all really wonderful. Book Bug is a great place to come. The next event we have there is fall table arranging florals, and it comes with a vessel and the mechanics, because a lot of the behind the scenes about designing flowers is really about the mechanics, about understanding different textures and layers and families of flowers. So those will be our focal things to discuss when we're arranging. And my goal is to really give you the vessel and, like I said, the mechanics, the components, so that you can take this and Thanksgiving, you can do an arrangement. Christmas, you can do, you know, holiday, you can do an arrangement. You know, spring, you could walk out and forage an arrangement. I love to really invite people to have this connection to not only getting, say, it's the middle of winter and you really just want some blooms, you go buy some, but then maybe going for a walk and finding some greens, getting people connected with nature all seasons and bringing them into their house. So that is our goal. It's going to be a hands-on, nice length of class where it's not just like, you know, plop these in a mason jar. There's a bit of technique that's involved, but nothing to be scared about, right? So some people are like, I don't know, I can't do this. And I've done this workshop several times for private groups and corporations. And, you know, everybody makes a beautiful arrangement. It's super cool to see how we can all start with the same ingredients but end up with different looks based on our personality or vibe.
You provide the flowers?
Of course, yep. You can buy tickets on Instagram through the Book Bug, and you can buy them right from the front page there in their storyline. There's the purchase tickets. It's through Eventbrite.
And do people take their arrangements home with them?
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, the vessel and the mechanics, meaning the items you'll need to make another one in the future, those are all yours. And it's a beautiful, we're utilizing a beautiful gold vessel this time because it's a warm, nice metal for the fall/winter.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, they are really fun.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a moment of your time, Susie, and we'll let you get back to your flowers.
Okay, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.